Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Well, so I need to write some cranky emails and then not send them, or write them
that's
and then
probably smart.
Like, let them sit and send them tomorrow in the cold, harsh light of day. I don't know.
I'm only going to enable you on this front. Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make bad decisions and also make today make sense. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's hard out there, man. It's hard. I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, the day you, of course, subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already, and the day of the week where we get to answer some of the questions all y'all have sent our way, which we really appreciate, by the way.
We really do. And so let's get right down to it. Our first question is a voicemail.
Hi, my name is Shelley, and I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I'm calling regarding some things you guys brought up in your Social Security is not going broke episode. I have always wondered, as an accountant, how come the Social Security cap increases with inflation, but we don't have the same for the minimum wage? It's been stagnant for however long, but every year we readjust the cap for Social Security to based on inflation. If you could make me smart on that, that'd be excellent. Thank you.
That is an excellent question. The answer is Congress. The federal minimum wage now is $7.25. It always is Congress. Federal minimum wage right now is $7.25. Obviously, some states have different and higher ones. It's been there since 2009, has not been indexed to inflation since. And in point of fact, the time before that when it was set, which I can't remember when it was, but it was a very long time ago, was not indexed for inflation then either. And of course, indexing for inflation means that the minimum wage goes up as prices increase every year, as they usually do, unless you're in a pandemic. And it would maintain the relative value of your money relative to the other goods and services that you have to buy. And here is a handy little tidbit. Thank you, Marissa Cabrera or Grace Rubin from the Center for Economic Policy and Research. Federal minimum wage would have been $24.18 last year if it would have risen in step with just, for instance, worker productivity, right? There are a bunch of ways to measure it. It doesn't have to be inflation. It could be worker productivity. It can be a basket of goods. It can be anything. Mm-hmm. Congress has decided not to do that. So Congress decided to index the Social Security wage cap, which we talked about a time or two ago, at $142,000-ish, right? That's the part of your annual pay that you pay Social Security taxes on. It has decided not to index the federal minimum wage to inflation, just because. You know, I mean, tax policy is complicated, but that's fundamentally what it is.
Yeah, yeah. And that is a really good breakdown. And it kind of it's interesting in because sometimes the answer points out the absurdity of the having to ask the question, if that makes sense. Like the question is totally logical. Like, wait a second, if this is indexed, why is this not indexed? And then the answer is like, there is no good reason. And $7.25 an hour.
That's
so interesting.
Not a lot of money. Yeah.
Indexing apparently is used in other government programs also, not just Social Security. Like it's sort of, it's not unusual for this to exist. It's used, I mean, thankfully, including SNAP benefits, which are what we used to call food stamps. There, I read an interesting piece that is just like, if you really, really want to go all the way down to the dark place by Max Boot, which, you know, that's granted, that's what Max Boot does.
Yeah.
But it's in the Washington Post, and it's an opinion piece about how our political system, like, why can't our political system address our biggest problems? And it sort of points to the structural flaws in the way that our system was designed, primarily because, I guess it's a version of indexing, our electoral system is not indexed anymore to population. So you just have this sort of like...
That's a great one, yeah.
Yeah. So you have, you know, the same number of representatives representing an increasingly extreme minority of people. And it's just really interesting. It's like, imagine, he says, imagine how differently our politics would look if the Senate were elected based on population, regardless of state lines. California would have 12. Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Montana would all share one. And then you would, in fact, be able to enact popular policies.
Right.
Because even in a time of extreme partisanship, you would have a majority rule system. It's really interesting. Unrelated to our question, I just was reading it earlier today, and I was like,
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. All right, next question, all about the social media platform that all the kids are on.
This is Carl from California, listening to your 827 show, and you start talking about TikTok and citing TikTok and what a thing it's grown into. Oh, my goodness. I have no clue as to what TikTok has grown into. Can you make me smart about why TikTok is such a big deal? Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Turns out TikTok, it's a thing. A huge one. I think this is what brought it up clearly, is that in your August 27th show, it sounds like your news item was that the MLA figured out how to cite TikTok in academic papers. So... My son was a Musical.ly fan, and actually we did a couple of – TikTok is a combination of these two successful apps, Musical.ly, musical.ly, and Douyin, which is a Chinese company. And the parent company, ByteDance, bought Musical.ly in 2018 and then eventually re-released it as TikTok. And it has just been sort of like quietly for some, right, loudly for the Gen Z becoming a juggernaut. In fact, it is TikTok in 2020 was American teenagers' second favorite app behind Snapchat and right ahead of Instagram, which is one relevant reason why Facebook was a driving force behind trying to get TikTok banned during the Trump administration because of its Chinese ownership. There was some question that, like, you may recall that the Trump administration was going to force ByteDance to sell TikTok because of international, like, spying concerns. That didn't happen. It was the most downloaded app of 2020 and the first half of 2021. And it's considered, like, it definitely has issues. It's super, super addictive. But it's kind of more positive in some ways, especially as, like, Instagram and Facebook are coming under more scrutiny, like this week, the news that Instagram is directly harmful to teen girls' mental health and Facebook knew. TikTok is hoping to be kind of a more positive place. And in fact, it has, like, generated a lot of activism, climate activism, and, you know, some kind of direct action stuff. It's a big deal. And it's spawning stars all over the place. We talked about how it's changing. Maybe we didn't talk on the show. Maybe it was just a meeting. But if you listen to, like, the Billboard top 10, you know, seven of them at any given point will be songs that originated on TikTok.
Amazing.
It's changing. Yeah. Huge
amazing
business impact.
Balls. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Totally. This is just me. This is just me. It's such a time suck because it's so hypnotizing to just sit there and go, okay, flip. Ooh, that one's ooh, flip. That one's interesting. Oh yeah. Right? And you're like, oh my God, it's an hour later and I got like 14 different things to do.
Oh, yeah. But, one of our producers, Haley, told me the other day that she had uninstalled TikTok and gotten back hours of her life.
Yes. Yes.
Which is really true. You want to watch out.
Totally.
TikTok is not for the, you don't want to take this on lightly. Like, it'll ruin your life. You'll get laid off.
Right.
It's a whole thing.
Right. Same thing, by the way, kind of with Instagram Reels or whatever the heck those things are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Same thing. Instagram Reels is just a direct ripoff of TikTok. Like, direct.
Right.
One to one, because that's what Facebook does. Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yep.
But according to my son, it's so stupid. No one uses it. Reels, I mean, they all use TikTok. All right, our next question comes from Dan in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He wrote in and said, I was listening to the September 2nd podcast and couldn't help but think of this beer when Molly said ranch dressing is sacred. And he included a link to ranch dipping sauce beer from Martin House Brewery in Texas.
Sharpen the breath.
Per the brewery, I'm going to try to get through this with over the objections of my gag reflex. What? Ranch dipping sauce, 5.2% ranch dressing beer brewed with lactose.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it tastes just like ranch, but looks like beer. For this limited release, we used 100 pounds or the equivalent of 1,600 ranch dressing packets to create the ultimate ranch lover.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And, look,
and he says...
So go ahead.
No, please. Just save me. I can't.
So I clicked on the link that was provided, and it looks like there's 16-ounce cans, right? So these are big beers, and 16 ounces of something that tastes like dipping? A little bit on chicken wings, and that's about it. And chicken wings are just vessels for transporting sauce anyway. No.
Oh,
no.
Well, that's so funny because apparently they sold it alongside Buffalo Wangs, which I probably shouldn't say. We're going to get the E now. Sure. Their Buffalo Wing Sauce flavored sour beer. Gross. Luckily, I'm saying sold in the past tense. Yeah. It was a gimmick because, of course, you know Marissa's awesome and she called them and talked to Lou, the taproom manager at Martin House Brewing Company, who said the ranch flavored beer is RIP. It was a one-time thing. They made 60 cases to go alongside this Buffalo Wangs beer. And then evidently it sold out quick because people don't have enough to do.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
The pandemic really gave people too much time for weird food.
Mm-hmm. Hard pass, Dan. I'm sorry. I'm just not doing it. Just not
doing
it. Gross. Yeah, but so here comes the turn. You ready? This is kind of an awesome turn. Molly and I drank pumpkin spice beer last year, not ranch flavored, but pumpkin spice beer for our fundraising drive. Did a little taste test, if you remember that. We actually shot it on video. We wore hats and shirts and the whole deal. This year, we're not doing that. In fact, we're just, our great idea, which we can't talk about, was the lawyers put the kibosh on it for now. So maybe we'll do it next year. But that does not mean we still don't need all y'all's help. The goal, of course, is $250,000 by Friday. We're doing well. We're slowing down a little bit. We've got, 1,450 donors. And here's the stat of the day. 629 pair of banana pants are on their way to lucky listeners to this podcast, which is 43% amazing of the people. Yeah, which is even more than the Kaipa glasses, Bridget told me, and a little knife to my heart today.
I know. I was would you tell him that? It's so hurtful. I got that. I got the glass.
I know you did.
We believe in you, friends. We believe in you. We can do this. Claim your banana pants. I mean, in these troubled times, cozy pajama pants are, in fact, medicine. So you can get those. You can get the ringtones. Marketplace.org/givesmart. We are so grateful. You're the best fans ever. Your curiosity literally powers our show. Not just on Wednesdays, but especially on Wednesdays. And your donations literally power our show. That's why we can hire incredible people like Marissa, who, when she hears that there's ranch-flavored beer, she calls that guy right up and asks him what the deal.
Ranch-flavored beer. My guess would be that Wesley in O'Fallon, Missouri, and Leandro from Durham, North Carolina, and Anne in Colorado Springs, Colorado, Johannes in Tübingen, Germany, hello, and Aaron in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who donated $34 for their 34th birthday. My guess would be they would not drink that beer either. I'm just saying. I'm just
friends, please tell us.
But they
like tell us. Yeah. We need to know both of the things. Would you? Marcus, thank you for using your money on that and not ranch flavored beer.
That's right.
We believe that just shows how smart you are. Marketplace.org/givesmart. This is only gonna happen until Friday. So you gotta get after it. We appreciate you.
Win, lose, or draw. And with that, I appreciate you too, Ted Lasso. That's it for us today. We're back on Hollowed Out Show Thursday tomorrow. Keep sending your questions. Make me smart at marketplace.org. Leave us a voicemail if you like, 508-827-6278. 508-827-6278. 508, you be smart. Boom.
Boom. How's it Wednesday already? Now I'm stressed. I didn't realize it was all coming up so fast.
It's all good.
It's going to be fine. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera and Mark A. Green. Actually, either one of them might be the one who called the brewery. I don't know, because that's how good our team is. Today's program was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Our intern is Grace Rubin.
Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez. Composed our theme music. Our senior producer is Bridget Bodner. There you go. That's part of the team. It's not the whole team. It's most of the team.
By the way, I'm wearing the pants right now.
Oh, yeah?
I can't stop wearing the pants.
I don't know if you saw the newsletter that came from corporate headquarters. You're in there twice with those pants on.
Really? Twice?
You are twice. Two times.
Where's your pants picture?
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.